reportedly on the trade block, with the Saints interested after meeting with him last month. New England also signed Buffalo restricted free agent running back Mike Gillislee to a two-year, $6.4 million offer sheet. The Bills have until next week to match the offer. Is there bad blood between Richard Sherman and the Seahawks after the All-Pro corner was put on the trade block? Sherman says he will not show up for the team's current workouts, but will report for mandatory sessions in May. And the Jets hosted Ohio State DBs Marshawn Lattimore and Gary Conley. Both are first-round targets for the team. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
It's the final days of Mattress Firm's once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's your last chance to save up to 70% off Tempur-Pedic and Sealy. Plus, take up to $2,000 off floor models from Sealy, Tempur-Pedic, Hampton and Rhodes, and others. We're liquidating every Tempur-Pedic and Sealy in stock to make room for the next generation of innovative sleep products. Only at your local Mattress Firm while supplies last. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/circulars. Product offer and prices may vary in Hawaii.
Napa Know How!
There's no kind of rich like Oil Rich. And with the Castrol family of oil on sale at Napa, including Castrol Synthetic for just $5.69 a quart, you can load up on a serious amount of oil. People might even mistake you for some highfalutin oil tycoon. So head to Napa, where Castrol's on sale, including Synthetic for just $5.69. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How!
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 4/30/17.
It's hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and our associate producer Kyle Mann taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. No Minnesota Twins baseball for our Twins fans on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Their game with the Indians got rained out today. They'll make that up as part of a day-night doubleheader in June. That means all three frequencies going to ESPN programming at 7 o'clock tonight. You're listening to us either on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, where we'll be on Friday for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, or on 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa, even online anywhere around the world, streaming at KGYMradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp, at AlexKuhn523. And we've got a good show for you the rest of the way here. Hour number two is going to get kicked off in a little bit with Vahe Gregorian from the Kansas City Star. We'll talk a little wide receivers and tight ends as well in Iowa City as the Hawkeyes are gearing up for the spring game on Friday. And then in hour number two, the 6 o'clock showdown, we've got an opportunity to send you and three of your family members or friends or complete strangers, it doesn't matter to us, to Veterans Memorial Stadium on Wednesday, a week from today, to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels take on the Burlington Bees, the Class A affiliate of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. It's the 6 o'clock showdown, 7 questions in 60 seconds, and those tickets could be yours. Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times as well. Lots of NBA action and NHL action to get to. Alex, your St. Louis Blues could close out the Minnesota Wild tonight at 8:30. Game 4 of their Stanley Cup playoff series. One other series could come to an end tonight. Anaheim has a 3-0 advantage on Calgary. The Capitals and Maple Leafs play at 6 o'clock, so we're inside an hour away from puck dropping there. And then Ottawa and Boston play at 6:30. Speaking of Boston, Celtics fell to the Bulls last night, 111-97. Chicago now has a 2-0 lead in their NBA playoff series as that shifts back to the United Center and Chicago. Who could have seen that coming? Other NBA action on tap tonight, the Hawks taking on the Wizards. The Thunder are in Houston to face the Rockets, and the Warriors looking to go up 2-0 on the Blazers. That's a 9:30 tip-off tonight. One other note to pass along, Phil Simms has found a landing spot at CBS. He's going to be working in their studio for the NFL Today. He's going to be replacing Tony Gonzalez, who's leaving the show after 3 years. Gonzalez lives in, I believe, Los Angeles, and didn't want to do the commute anymore, so there's an opening in the studio show. Simms, of course, sort of phased out by CBS's decision to hire Tony Romo, fresh off of, don't call him retired, but Tony Romo takes Phil Simms' spot in the booth, so Simms will be working with the NFL Today studio hosts.
I thought it was interesting that he was moved out of that spot for a guy who had never announced before. I don't know. I like to think that there takes a little bit of training to do this. I guess not.
We'll see how that goes. We'll try to reconnect some other time with Vahe Gregorian from the Kansas City Star. We have him. Oh, my apologies. I was going to have Kyle go ahead and reschedule. Talk a little Kansas City Royals baseball here to cleanse our palate. We've been Hawkeye football heavy out of the gate. Vahe Gregorian from the Kansas City Star is with us tonight on a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Kansas City currently occupying last place in the American League Central standings, but not by much, as that division is pretty much a crapshoot. They're currently enjoying a rematch of the 2014 World Series, taking on the San Francisco Giants. How are you tonight, Vahe?
Hey, I'm great, and great night for baseball here. It looks like it's about 80 degrees, and got a nice matchup tonight with Bumgarner, the scourge of Kansas City after 2014, and you could revitalize Jason Martin. Good game.
What's the early reaction in Kansas City to the Royals this year and the start that they've gotten off to?
Well, you guys know this. The nature of fans is panic at all opportunities, right? So you go 0-3 and you lose your first two games by like 20-2. That sets a little tone. Now, they stabilized a little bit. They won four in a row before they lost last night. But I think the big concern seems legitimate right now is no offense. The pitching has been unbelievable. They have the best ERA, I think it's the best starting rotation ERA in baseball. But I'm not capitalizing on it. It's 6-7. By the way, if the sound is bad, give me about 2 more seconds and it'll be better. Apologize for the wind. Anyway, there we go. Can you guys hear me better?
Yes, we can. Continue.
Okay. So, anyway, so you can look at a bunch of different markers and make different readings on it. You know, the defense has been great. The starting pitching has been great. Bullpen's leveled off after a bad start. Hitting's been pretty rotten. Do you think the hitting will come around? I kind of do. They probably won't be leading the American League in runs, though, so... The thing I guess I look toward going ahead is how much does the hitting come up and how much does the pitching come down and what does that all add up to?
I want to return to 2016 for just a second. They went 81-81, missed the playoffs. They had some injuries. How much did that have to do with their finish, or were there some deeper issues last year?
A little bit of both. I think something that's interesting is if you could just create the parallel universe I wish we could always create to see how things would have worked out. If Mike Moustakas and Alex Gordon don't just run into each other on that fluke play that took them both out of it, maybe it looks different. I mean, you see Moustakas now has 5 homers early this season. He was in a good groove early last season before he got hurt. Does that set some dominoes into a different place? I mean, they had other issues, obviously, but I wonder if just that would have changed some things. But you just don't know. And I think in a certain odd way, we'll understand more of what last year would have been based on what they do this year, if that makes sense. I mean, they're not the same team, but a lot of the nucleus is still the same. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't think we've seen enough to understand their real identity yet.
Vahe Gregorian joining us from the Kansas City Star, talking a little Royals baseball here on a Wednesday evening with us. Lorenzo Cain, you mentioned the struggles of the offense. Cain seems to be the only one of the regular starters who's got the bat going at this point. He's hitting .356 and doing quite a good job of trying to set the table. But among those other players, who is most important to get the bats going at this point?
Well, I really think Hosmer. I also think Hosmer will come out of it. But, I mean, he's hitting .200. He's got something like six or seven double plays. He scored one run this season, and it was on his own home run. That's obviously uncharacteristic, and you know you can get yourself into a frenzy over this kind of stuff if you think a guy just loses it at this stage in his career. I don't think we're going to feel like that in the weeks to come, but problem is you don't know when he's going to break out of it, and you don't know what it'll take. And sometimes it's, you know, you get one big blast. Sometimes it's, you get a fluke hit and things just sort of start looking different. I'd be surprised if we don't see something change a little bit with him in just the next week or so. And then the other question is Gordon. And that's a bigger worry to me because of how he's been trending the last couple of years in general. And I just don't know what kind of pop is still there. And I certainly don't want to be gloom and doom, but he's a guy I'd be more worried about.
You bring up Eric Hosmer, and there's been a lot of talk about him. His power numbers went up a little bit last year. He struck out a little bit more, but there was a talk about him trying to change his swing and drive the ball in the air just a little bit more. He's off to a slow start. It's interesting because as someone who follows the Cardinals, you look at a guy like Matt Carpenter who kind of went through that same transformation. Is that what we're going to see going forward with Eric Hosmer, a guy who might strike out a little bit more but will drive the ball more as well?
It's a great question. I have no idea if this here with free agency looming, is that affecting anything? I certainly am not implying that it does or doesn't. I really don't know, but you just wonder if you see things any differently. I don't think I could be wrong about this, but I think he understands philosophically that he's not, you know, primarily a home run hitter. He's a good strong hitter. He's still got to use the field a bit. And I don't know how much of this is related to anything he's trying to change or not. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation about that. From what I can tell, anyway, Eric has kind of shut down talk about that. So I don't really feel like I have a real grip on what he's thinking inside in terms of just philosophy.
Vahe, how much is the off-season passing of Yordano Ventura hanging over this team right now?
It's very much with him. I've yet to see any indication that it's the type of thing that they're wishing to stop talking about or to avoid. I mean, I'm sure reminders can hurt, but I also think that there is a big part of this that they feel like they keep his memory alive by talking about him, by having, you know, commemorative things of him out here. You know, I notice every day, not every day, but every second or third day or so, Danny Duffy will just tweet something like, "We miss you, Yordano." Things come up a lot about him. You know, just the fact that the Giants are here, it's, of course, reminiscent to a lot of us that follow the Royals because of Game 6 and what Yordano did in that game and kind of the cruel irony of commemorating Oscar Tavares that night and then suffering much the same fate. So it's still powerful, and how it affects them is a little harder to understand. I mean, I do think there are a lot of guys that look within themselves and think about him even as they start to pitch and start to play. I think Danny Duffy's an example of that. But I also know that there's a limit to how much that can infuse you too, and I certainly don't think they would, you know, they're not trying to co-opt this in some, you know, kind of crummy way, like, we're diminishing it by, you know, it's all about, you know, playing for Yordano. I think that can come off a little just wrong-headed sometimes. I think they've been treating it really just right.
Vahe Gregorian joining us for just a few more minutes from the Kansas City Star. Someone on the text line wants to know why everybody is wringing their hands over the start of Raul Mondesi Jr. at second base, pointing out that second base hasn't exactly been a bastion of production for the Royals for the last 3 or 4 years.
Well, that's true. I can't remember. I broke these numbers down about 2 years ago, right when they got Infante, and the numbers were startling, like both the lack of production, but the number of players that they used at the spot in the last 7, 8 years, I think really in the last 10 years almost since Dayton Moore took over. I think this, though, part of the reason is there's a little bit of this no man's land with the Royals right now in terms of they are looking right up against what are they going to do with 4 key free agents at the end of the year. And that is intensifying the timeline on when they need to know whether they're buying or selling or standing pat at the trade deadline. So it puts a little bit of a premium on the first few months of the season, because if you don't find yourself in contention, or at least in reasonable contention, by June into July, then you're starting to wonder how much you've got to start dismantling, for lack of a better term. So I think that probably puts a hyper spotlight on Mondesi. And I think, though, the crux of the question comes in this form. You got a guy, Whit Merrifield, who they just called up, who probably is never going to be a superstar, but showed last year he can play and be productive and help. And he hit .283 last year, had a lot of extra base hits, had a lot of multi-hit games. He could play right now at second base and be more productive, I'm certain, than Mondesi. And they see Mondesi as the future, and they want to prime that pump. And I see both sides of it a little bit, but I don't quite think I understand the hurry in saying Mondesi's got to play right now when he still looks to me like he's clearly overmatched. Now, I guess the real question would be, what more can he get out of AAA? And if they don't think he can get more out of AAA, then okay, I guess you better figure out how he's going to get it done here. But last night when they didn't have any, they let him bat when he really had no chance in two situations where he could have won the game in the ninth and the 11th, and it really stood out. And he's not the reason they lost. You lose a game as a team. A lot of guys could have done more, but it really stood out.
Vahe, I want to switch gears just a little bit to football. A week from tomorrow night, the NFL draft gets underway. What are the biggest needs for the Kansas City Chiefs heading into the draft?
Well, the biggest immediate needs probably are defensive line, maybe linebacker, just because we don't know about things like Derek Johnson's health. The interesting twist in it all is what the Chiefs come to perceive as their biggest need in terms of getting the quarterback situation right and how high they have to take a quarterback and really start thinking about who's the heir apparent to Alex Smith, whether that's in the immediate future or down the road. I think as of right now, you don't have a guy who's played an NFL down behind Alex, and I think the jury's still out on Tyler Bray. So that is a really intriguing part of this equation. And you know, you could construe other needs too. I mean, you might think you need a different sort of running back. Although I think they're in pretty good shape with Ware and Charkandrick West. There are some who think another corner would be really important. I would urge anybody listening that's really interested in this to check out, just Google our man Therese Paylor, and you'll find a just unbelievable amount of draft information that is not just stuff he's bringing up from the top of his head. Therese is watching like six games each of top five prospects at each position and breaking them down with his scouting reports. He's a beast and incredible insight, and will tell you a lot about how I think that corresponds to the Chiefs' thinking too.
Vahe, we appreciate the time as always. We'll let you get back to work. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me anytime.
You can follow him on Twitter at VGregorian. He's the sports columnist for the Kansas City Star. As we mentioned, the Royals and the Giants renewing, you can't really call it a rivalry, but these two teams did meet in the 2014 World Series, so there's a little bit of recent history there.
Does that automatically make it a rivalry?
Well, when you're on the losing end of it, maybe you view it as a rivalry.
I wore a San Francisco Giants hat to a Texas Rangers game one time. It felt like a rivalry to me. It was not during a San Francisco Giants-Texas Rangers game either. It didn't even occur to me, which was completely my fault. But
you got some looks, didn't you?
I got
you?
Some looks, and there were some words, too.
Almost like the time that Sean Krantz from Coach's Corner still loves telling this story. About the time that we went to a Cardinals game, it was a postseason game against the Giants, and I purchased for my hat collection a St. Louis Browns hat because I had always wanted one. They're hard to come by, and they sell them there at Busch Stadium. And Sean got mad when I came back to the seats that night because he thought I was wearing a Giants hat. And so did half of downtown St. Louis afterwards.
Oh, no.
And
they didn't see the STL on it?
No,
or?
No. And you know what? I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. It's brown and orange, not black and orange. But it was dark out, and maybe people were well-lubricated at that point. But not only did I get some looks, but there were some interesting things said to me that night as well. I think the Cardinals won that game. Don't remember much of it. Usually don't on my trips to St. Louis. 522, it's both good and bad, I guess. the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on until 7 o'clock tonight. Steve Batterson will be with us in hour number three. We'll continue our countdown to Friday night's spring game in Iowa City. And you can join us beforehand at the Coach's Corner, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. We're going to be there for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. We're on the air from 4 until 7. Happy hour starts at 3 o'clock and goes for 4 hours. That's $2.50 domestic bottles and $2 domestic pints. They're celebrating at Coach's today because the Cardinals were 2-1 winners over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Trevor Rosenthal back at the back end of that bullpen, getting things done today for the Cardinals. Dexter Fowler, the only offense that St. Louis needed. Cubs and Brewers underway, closing out that one. We'll give you an update on our next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Your phone calls and texts as well when we return. More of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
The real estate market in the Cedar Rapids area is red hot. In a hot market, you can make a lot of money selling your home, but you can also get burned. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty sells your house fast and for more money. Don't get burned in this hot real estate market and leave money on the table because you don't know the ropes. Doug and Pinnacle would be glad to put a sold sign on your home in near record time. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
525, it's the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Kyle Mann sitting in, acting as the associate producer for tonight's program. And before 7 o'clock, we're going to give you an opportunity to win 4 tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels take on the Burlington Bees a week from tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium. We'll do it inside the 6 o'clock showdown. How about a Midwest One Bank Big Board update that we mentioned we would pass along the Cubs-Brewers score? They're in the 9th inning at Wrigley Field. It's 4-3 Milwaukee at the moment, but it looks like the Cubs are at least within striking distance. Cardinals did beat the Pirates today 2-1. In Iowa City, Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker met with the media, but so too did Kirk Ferentz. He made a surprise appearance before their media availability today. Said he's not a fan of the NCAA looking to do away with two-a-day practices. What he is a fan of? Adding Iowa State, or keeping Iowa State on the schedule through 2023. Cedar Rapids Colonels were in action today. They got beat by the Peoria Chiefs 15-3. The Chiefs had 21 hits. Every member of the starting lineup hit safely in at least once. Colonels will return home tomorrow night for the first of 4 games with the Kane County Cougars. Iowa is in Peoria as well today. They take on Bradley at 7 o'clock tonight. That game also being played at Dozier Park. That's the reason why the Colonels and the Chiefs had to play early. It'll be Drake Robeson pitching for the Hawkeyes. He's 2-2 with a 5.79 ERA. CBS Sports' John Rothstein reports Memphis guard Markel Crawford plans to visit Iowa State in the near future. The graduate transfer had 12.8 points a game last year for the Tigers. And Iowa beat Iowa State in softball 2-1 last night. securing the Cy-Hawk series victory for Iowa by a score of 20-7. The victory was already in hand, but that was the last event of the Cy-Hawk series. Do you keep track or do you follow the standings for the Cy-Hawk series? 319-366-1600. I would wager to say most people would have no clue what the final score is at the end of the year. I don't think they're on the edge of their seat waiting to see gymnastics results or softball. They only care about football and basketball and wrestling, and that's it. And speaking of wrestling, I found this incredibly, incredibly sad yesterday because I like when baseball makes a comeback at a college. I don't like to see it do so at the expense of wrestling. Boise State is the latest school to cut its wrestling program, and they're doing it so that they can add baseball. And I just think that that's unfortunate on a number of fronts because it creates a lot of resentment on the wrestling side of things toward college. Look, college baseball and college wrestling are in the same boat. They are both among the first programs on the chopping block when it comes time to make changes. And we've seen that with two of the three schools here in the state. Luckily, the Iowa baseball program is not going anywhere. But Iowa State doing away with its program several years ago, and then you and I following suit, it's unfortunate. And so Boise State making the decision, I believe they were the only team in the conference that didn't have baseball. So they're adding baseball, but they're doing it at the expense of wrestling, and I can only imagine that that's probably not going over very well with Dan Gable and the rest of the wrestling community. We're going to talk a little Hawkeye football coming up at the bottom of the hour. And we'll invite you to join the conversation as well, 319-366-1600. Today, we're going to take a look at the wide receivers and the tight ends. A little bit of news out of Iowa City. Drew Cook moving from quarterback to tight end. It makes a strong group even stronger. Gives the Hawkeyes a lot of options. As a matter of fact, Brian Ferentz said today, they may even use some multiple tight end sets more often than not next year just because they like how much depth they've got at the position. Wide receiver and depth, not exactly two words that get used in the same sentence a lot. We'll discuss after this.
Once upon a time, there was an office full of grumbly staffers with computer issues.
So they called us. We love a challenge.
They needed a rescue from troubled servers, networks, blue screens of death, and more.
That's what we do for businesses in the corridor, and we have been for over 30 years. We are IT Solutions.
They are IT Solutions.
I just said that. Anyway, we know a properly configured and maintained computer network can make your employees 5 to 15% more efficient.
That's a whole lot of happy.
Yeah, it is. We monitor our client systems to make sure they're working. A lot of times, we solve a problem before a client even knows there is one.
Sounds like secret high-tech stuff.
Sure. Our clients have a dozen to a few hundred computers, some a few less, but they all have a lot of happy and productive employees because their computers work.
And they can stay focused on
taking care of their customers instead of their computers.
Find your happily ever after at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
Go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com to learn more.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. Warriors continue to list small forward Kevin Durant as questionable for Game 2 tonight versus the Trailblazers. Leaked sources, though, told ESPN's Mark Stein, Golden State is weighing whether to hold Durant out of the game as a precaution after he suffered a strained left calf in the win in the opener. Durant did not participate in today's shoot-around. Cavaliers shooting guard J.R. Smith says the MRI he got on his hamstring came back negative, went through practice today without a setback. According to Coach Ty Lue, the team will wait to see how Smith responds tomorrow before they decide if he is cleared for Game 3 against the Pacers. The NBA fined Celtics guard Marcus Smart $25,000 for making an obscene gesture toward a fan during last night's loss. Grizzlies coach David Fizdale fined $30,000 by the league for criticizing the officials after Monday's loss. He said his players have told him they will reimburse him. Stanley Cup playoffs. It is win or go home for both the Wild and Flames tonight. Both teams down 3-0 in their respective series. Minnesota is in St. Louis and Calgary is home to Anaheim.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Greeny, you know how to win at business?
Tell me how.
Show up early for meetings. That way everybody who's only on time looks like slackers.
Well, I got a better way to win at business.
What's that?
Instant free nights at La Quinta Inns and Suites. You can show up with no advance reservation and redeem your La Quinta Returns loyalty points for a free night that same night just by using the La Quinta app.
I feel like I'd win at business more than you.
I'd cream you at business.
Impossible. I'm undefeated at business.
Go to LQ.com now and prepare to win at business.
Hi, this is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank. If you're like me, you probably rely on your phone to get things done. So I know you'll want to hear about Kabbage's mobile app. Kabbage has created a simple way for business owners to get funding from their phones. Download the mobile app and you can complete the application in minutes and access funds anytime. Kabbage has provided over $2.5 billion in funding to 90,000 small businesses. Download the Kabbage app today or call 888-CABBAGE. That's Kabbage with a K, K-A-B-B-A-G-E.
Trex composite decking is rot and splinter resistant. Wood is not. Trex is insect proof. Wood is not. Trex eliminates time-consuming maintenance. Wood does not. Trex comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. Wood does not. So here's the question. Why would you ever choose to build with wood? Make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
How good is Quaker State Motor Oil? It's been called a leader in wear protection and the hardest working motor oil. Some say it works so hard it should carry a briefcase. Others call it so hard working that it could be your engine's employee of the month. The kind of hard work that puts in overtime hours and always responds to emails right away. But we just call it damn good oil. Head to Firestone Complete Auto Care for great savings on Quaker State.
We're at the halfway point of another Todd Brommelkamp show. That means the 6 o'clock showdown is only an hour away. We'll do it after 6:30 tonight. Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times set to join us in about 25 minutes as well. We'll talk about some of the news that came out of Iowa City earlier today as Kirk Ferentz, Brian Ferentz, and Phil Parker all met with the media, the final time that we'll hear from anybody associated with the Iowa football program before Friday night. 7 o'clock, spring game gets underway at Kinnick Stadium. Gates open at 6 o'clock. Iowa has details on what you can and can't do, where you need to go in, all of that good stuff at its website, HawkeyeSports.com. And we'll have a little bit more of the audio from Kirk Ferentz coming up for you tonight, as well as some talk about the position group with the wide receivers and the tight ends. We've been doing this all week long, taking a look at one area that is either a strength or a little bit of a question mark for the team this spring. And this area is going to be one that's a little bit of both, because when you roll the tight ends in, I don't think anybody would argue that that's a weakness. But tight end is a strength, wide receiver right now a little bit of a weakness. And we're going to start with heading to the phone lines, actually. Go down to Iowa City and bring Matthew on board. Matthew, what's on your mind tonight?
Hello?
Yeah, Matt, go ahead and turn your radio down. What's on your mind?
All right, turn the radio down. All right. Yep. Yeah, hey, so I have three things. One thing, every morning I wake up and we have the talk, not with you guys, with another group, how do we fix baseball? And I swear, not talking about it till the All-Star break almost fixes that. Second to that, talking about the tight ends with Iowa football, what we've been hearing, at least on the student campus, is that just Noah Fant apparently can't go across the middle, but is going to run a lot of streak routes. So that's kind of interesting, and apparently Cook is extremely intelligent when it comes to route running. So it's pretty cool to hear. And then one thing I want to throw out there, see if we get some conversation on it, is the NBA. I would think it would be very good for the NBA to possibly mix up the East and West in the playoffs. I might be totally, no one will agree with me, maybe, but I'd really like to see the best two teams in the NBA out of all the playoff group actually make it to the finals. I mean, March Madness, we don't see the Big Ten representative play the SEC. We don't segment out. I'd really like to see the East and the West mixed. Curious for your thoughts. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. I don't know what's going on as far as the tight ends are concerned, as far as who can do what, and it's really difficult to draw any conclusions from what we get to see of them in the spring. But Noah Fant's a name that a lot of people have been looking forward to seeing last year, and now this year with a little bit of experience under his belt. The news, Drew Cook, of course, moves to tight end from quarterback, which makes a strength even stronger for the Hawkeyes. And Brian Ferentz talked a little bit about this today. They are going to look at getting more tight ends on the field, multiple tight end sets, which I know is going to be music to the ears of some of our listeners, including one who tried to call in and get on the air yesterday, but I didn't want to talk to him because it was my birthday. A good idea or bad idea, in your opinion? I think it's a great idea.
It's a necessity at this point.
At this point, well, for the spring, because they've got like two wide receivers.
Exactly.
And one of them is a walk-on. Granted, he's a former junior college All-American. But Nick Easley, there's a lot of talk about this kid. And I think if you did sort of an informal poll of Iowa fans, who are you most looking forward to seeing on Friday night, I think he's going to rocket up the list after listening to some of the comments that Brian Ferentz made about him today and some of the other comments that have been made when we've talked with a few of the other assistant coaches. The bottom line is, with Matt Vandenberg out with the injury and Jeremy Smith pulled from all football activities for the academic issue, and then you had Jay Scheel leaving the team at the end of last year, they're really thin right now at wide receiver. It's going to open up some opportunities for some of the young kids when they get on campus over the summer. But as far as what you're going to see Friday night, probably not a whole lot from the receivers, but that's going to put the tight ends, I think, under the magnifying glass even more so.
I think Brian Ferentz was asked today about having seven tight ends on scholarship. And he's like, well, I want eight of them. More tight ends, more tight ends, more tight ends, because that's something that they use, whether having a two tight end set or sometimes three tight end set. That is definitely a recruiting tool that this program uses for bringing in some of the most talented tight end recruits in the country. But one thing that the previous coordinator really struggled with was,
you don't want to say his name,
Greg Davis, struggled with was getting these tight ends involved in the passing game. George Kittle, I thought, was probably one of the best athletes and one of the best pass catchers that they had on the offensive side of the football, and he had the ability to split out wide. He had the ability to play in the slot if you needed him to. Any way that you can get that guy the ball and get him running down the field and showing off that speed that he showed off at the NFL Combine, running a 4.5 240, would be ideal, and they never really could get that going. And when Brian Ferentz was asked today what they need to do to get the offense going, what he wants to change about the offense, he really doesn't shy away from it. He really goes out there and says, you know what? The passing game has to be better. We can't be as inept passing the football as we were last year, is basically what he is saying. So in order for that to happen, it's going to have to be a collective effort with the lack of depth at the wide receiver position. Now, you bring up Nick Easley. I'm as intrigued as many people are to see what this guy brings to the table, because the coaching staff has is highly touting this kid as a guy who could make it, will make a difference, will play right away. I just want to see, because we really haven't got, we didn't get to go to the Des Moines practice. We didn't get to go to the open practice. I want to see what he brings to the table, what kind of receiver he's going to be for this team.
He's wearing number 84 if you're going to Kinnick Stadium on Friday night, the Iowa Western Community College transfer. He's 5'11", 203. That's what they list him at. At the beginning of the spring, he was listed behind Jeremy Smith on the depth chart at wide receiver, but we know Smith is sort of in academic purgatory right now with the program. They're trying to send a message to him. It's going to be interesting to see if this is an opportunity for somebody like an Easley to step up and grab a hold of Friday. Now, it's important always to remember what happens in the spring sort of stays in the spring. Just because you have a good spring game doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be guaranteed of anything when guys return to camp in late January or late July, early August for the start of fall camp. Now, tight end, Noah Fant's name keeps coming up. He was listed behind Peter Peacock to start off the spring. It is a position that year in and year out, Iowa tends to not have any issues with. The only issue being, can they keep guys healthy? And that's really what, as you said, hindered George Kittle last year, was the fact that he couldn't stay healthy and stay on the field. And now you see him go to the combine in Indianapolis and puts up big numbers, and he's probably going to get paid moving forward. So a Drew Cook, a lot of people would say that that move was long overdue, but it's been made, and whether or not he works his way into the rotation or sees time on the field. I do think it's encouraging, though, if you hear Brian Ferentz today say they're talking about using multiple tight ends and not quite necessarily in the same way that Iowa did maybe 20, 25 years ago under Hayden Fry. They're going to get these guys involved in the passing game. They're almost going to need to. And it's a passing game that we still don't know much about, because today Brian Ferentz also said the quarterbacks, Nathan Stanley and Tyler Wiegers, are still neck and neck. They have not separated themselves going into Friday's final practice. Let's go ahead and head back to the phone lines here really quick. 319-366-1600. We wanted to get in the wide receiver tight end talk before we brought Kyle on. Kyle wants to, I think, circle back to the Boise State situation, getting rid of wrestling to bring baseball back to life there in Boise. Kyle, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, guys, first of all, nice job so far out of the gates, filling Ryder's shoes. You guys are doing well, as I knew you would. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to touch base on that.
Did you ever see his shoes, Kyle? They're enormous.
They're big.
you guys crack me up. Anyway, you know, I'm a big baseball guy, but, you know, I have a lot of respect for all the programs, and, you know, wrestling, no exception. And I just hate that when they cut one program and then they say, okay, well, we cut this and we can bring that back, because, like you alluded to, TB, it should never be a whole athletic department is, you know, to, you know, if I could use a metaphor, pulling on the same rope. And I just think that's terrible, because in reality, it's all about money. It shouldn't be, we have enough money for this one. If we cut this one, it's like, no, you need to make enough money. And that bothers me too. A lot of people point at Title IX. Well, you know, they blame the women's sports. Well, if we wouldn't have had Title IX and there's got to be this X amount of women's sports, then we could have more baseball or more wrestling or whatever. It's like, no, dude, that don't blame them. It's your athletic department needs to figure out a way to fund these things. But I don't know. It's just, my brother played baseball at the University of South Dakota, or a good Division II program. Doesn't even exist anymore. You know, and the fact that out of the Big Four, if you want to include Drake in there, that Iowa is the only school in the state, you know, still has a baseball program as far as, you know, big colleges. I think that's just really sad. And then, I'll leave you with a quick trivia question. Without looking it up, what is the lone Big Ten team that does not have a baseball team?
Wisconsin. They dropped it in 1994.
Wow. I didn't even have to think about that. That's impressive.
Yeah, I've known that for a while there. And there are people at Wisconsin that want to bring baseball back, and they have wanted for years, and Barry Alvarez just doesn't have any interest in doing it, which I think is unfortunate. But appreciate the phone call, Kyle. I covered the final Iowa-Iowa State baseball game, and I will never forget Lyle Smith, who was the head coach at Iowa State at the time, afterwards being asked about the emotions of learning that their program was going to be dropped, because the announcement was made by Bruce Vandervelde, who was the AD at Iowa State at the time. Like, it may not have even been a week before they played that game. The news was very fresh that this was going to be the last time that Iowa and Iowa State played. And Lyle Smith, it wasn't necessarily choking back tears, but he was getting emotional, and he said, I feel like my wife died. Like, that's how much he cared about that program. And to have to see all of those guys figure out where they're going to go and transfer to, and it just, it sucks to see programs get cut. And then you look on the other hand and go, you're starting from scratch and the ground up, so you're going to be in the basement for a really long time. Boise State getting a baseball program going, whereas the wrestling is established. And I'm not an expert on athletic departments and generating revenue and all of that, but you've got to think that somewhere along the line, if you cut a little bit of the fat off of football and some of your other programs, if you tighten your belt, you can accomplish what you want and you can get it done. The problem is, and I know this firsthand, I wake up every morning, I look at myself in the mirror and I say, man, I am fat, I need to lose weight. And I don't have the motivation to do it. And that's part of the problem here with some of these athletic departments is they know what they need to do. They know they could do it. They just don't want to.
Is this an issue of having to trim the fat, or is this an issue of having, of not necessarily an issue, but trying to match the amount of male and female athletes? Because
I think, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm sorry. Baseball, most of these guys are on 40 to 50% scholarships.
Less than that. I mean, you're lucky if you're getting your books paid for sometimes.
Which is amazing, because a kid out of high school who signs a first round signing bonus can make over $5 or $6 million off that signing bonus. And if you go to college, you barely get your books paid for.
I think, and I'm not giving away any trade secrets here, but I think one of the reasons that Michael Wacha wound up at Texas A&M was A&M came and had a larger scholarship offer than Iowa did. For those people who may not know, Michael Wacha, who burst onto the scene a couple years ago with the Cardinals, he's got family ties to Iowa City, and he had camped at Iowa, and Iowa was looking at him, and they had a scholarship offer out there, but it wasn't much because you just can't do a whole lot. And, you know, what do you do when you've got a guy like Jeff Clement, who's in Marshalltown and he's breaking records left and right? I mean, you know, those are the type of guys you go, okay, we'll give you a full ride. Now, Clement also ultimately wound up at USC, where he was a tremendous college player and then was drafted by the Seattle Mariners, made it to the big leagues, and is now out of baseball. He was actually with the Hawkeyes a couple years ago as a volunteer assistant. I don't know what he's doing now, but sort of veering off and getting onto a completely different tangent there. I hate when adding and cutting programs becomes a Title IX discussion, just because I think that that's a really poor way to go about tackling things. And what it does is it sort of makes an entire sex the scapegoat.
Right.
I'm not saying that that's what you're doing, but it's what a lot of people do. And they say, well, the women's rowing program at Iowa. They'll say, oh, the women's rowing program. Now, it's not a perfect world. And what Title IX has done is it's created a number of opportunities where they did not exist before for female athletes to perform at college and get scholarships for that. But where Title IX, I think, has failed is that, you know, the rowing program, and I keep going back to this, and I say I don't want to do this, and then I'm going to wind up saying something that I regret and upsetting people. I don't care. But there's no high school rowing in the state of Iowa, okay? There's no field hockey program in the state of Iowa. And yet you have field hockey at Iowa, and you've got all these girls from Ohio and Pennsylvania and everything to feel. That doesn't make sense. It's not that I don't like women's sports. It's that it doesn't make sense for the University of Iowa to have a field hockey program when no one at Iowa at the high school level plays field hockey or rowing. That's where my issue's at. And I think that for the good intent behind Title IX to open doors and give women the opportunity to play college basketball or softball and to be on a level playing field with male athletes, I'm all for that. The problem is, and this is in life, sometimes you have to make a decision and there are good consequences, but there are also bad consequences. And I think there's a lot of things about Title IX that has ultimately affected college sports in a negative way. But what do you do? Because if you completely get away with it, if you completely gut it, I know exactly what's going to happen. And those female athletes are going to lose a lot of their opportunities, and I don't necessarily want to see that happen. And boy, did we take a left at Albuquerque there. 5:53, we've got Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times coming up with us next. We'll talk a little Hawkeye football with him. The 6 o'clock showdown is on the way as well tonight. 11 triple E's, I think that's what Tyler's shoes were. I can't remember. He looked, it was sometimes very difficult, like Sideshow Bob on The Simpsons. You couldn't get out of the way of him. We'll be back after this.
Daryl Bewley here with Toyota of Iowa City. In the course of deciding on the purchase of a new or used vehicle, we understand that you have a lot of choices. Choices of vehicles and choices of places to buy them. I have the privilege of working with a great sales staff at Toyota of Iowa City, where we have always tried to make certain that not only do you get a really good deal, but that you also really enjoy your buying experience. We sell some of the very best, most dependable vehicles in the world. We have a fantastic certified used car program, and every used vehicle we sell comes with continued care that includes 2 full years of free oil changes and free tire rotations with no mileage restrictions. We have 0% financing available on many of our new Toyota models or fantastic low lease payments on almost all models. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, come check out the place that so many Eastern Iowans choose. Toyota of Iowa City. We're on Highway 1 right off 218 in Iowa City.
Spring is in the air, which means it's shoulder season at Blue Top Ridge at Riverside Casino. Join us for a chance to shake the rust off your game at the year's very best prices. Blue Top Ridge at Riverside Casino is now open, and you'll save a bundle with shoulder season rates now through April 27th. Check out overnight stay and play packages and book your tee time online at bluetopridge.com or by calling 319-648-0044. Blue Top Ridge at Riverside Casino, Iowa's premier casino and golf destination, just south of Iowa City.
5 minutes in front of the hour of 6 o'clock, it's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM, 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, and anywhere online at KGYMradio.com. Get you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Cardinals won earlier today over the Pirates 2-1. The Cubs come from behind at Wrigley Field on a walk-off by Addison Russell. They wind up beating the Brewers 7-4. Colonels could have used a little bit of that offense today in Peoria. They were throttled by the Peoria Chiefs 15-3 in the series finale at Dozier Park. Peoria had 21 hits. Every member of the starting lineup had at least one. Cedar Rapids returns home tomorrow night, the first of 4 games with the Kane County Cougars. Speaking of Peoria and baseball, Iowa is there today to take on Bradley at Dozier Park. The Hawkeyes have won 11 of their last 14 games. It'll be right-hander Drake Robeson on the mound tonight. He's 2-2 with a 5.79 ERA. Hawkeyes are 6-0 in midweek games so far this season. They've won 19 straight dating back to 2015. Iowa confirmed today that quarterback Drew Cook has officially moved to tight end. Kirk Ferentz making an impromptu appearance at the media availability today. Also said he's not a fan of the proposed rule to do away with two-a-days by the NCAA, but he does like the fact that the Iowa State football series has been extended through 2023. And a little bit of Iowa State basketball news. John Rothstein of CBS Sports reports that Memphis guard Markel Crawford plans to visit Ames sometime in the near future. Crawford, a graduate transfer, averaged 12.8 points last year for the Memphis Tigers. Do you follow Memphis basketball?
Not a big Memphis
just
Hoops fan.
Just Memphis football.
I do know that 6 of their players have transferred, and Tubby Smith is in a world of hurt right now.
He's got a mess on his hands down there, and I've always liked Tubby, and I felt that he got a bum rap at Kentucky, but he's sort of become his own worst enemy here as he's aged a little bit. Someone who hasn't aged a whole lot, he looks like he did 30 years ago when he was at the Daily Iowan, Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times. He's going to be up with us next to talk a little bit Hawkeye football as we get ready for Friday night spring game. Hour number three on the way after this.
Dugatz here for Canadian Mist. You know what I'm looking forward to? Hanging with friends on the back deck. We'll grab the red Solo cups, pour some Canadian Mist whiskey with a splash of cola, a little crust.